Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
I am great. I'm great. Super excited to be back on the show. And I know these are very hard times around the world. A lot of things are happening. Even though it's also festive times, you know, you find yourself having to balance the two, you know. But today we're going to speak about the spirit that is operating behind every conduct, you know, because it's very important to catch yourself and to really know, is this just you being you? Is it the constant news, the things that are happening, the petrol prices? Recently we had the pandemic, you know, the pandemic that no one really knew whether it was coming or going, you know. So we find ourselves in a state. Some people, it worked for them. If you were in the IT industry, this was really a boom period for you. But we've had people with businesses like our own, you know, that stood for 3 months, different areas in the world, places like China are currently under lockdowns and, you know, very strict restrictions. You know, we're even finding in the manufacturing industry, car parts that cannot be found, you know, whether you're ordering from Germany or, you know, locally, things have just been difficult. So you are probably sitting there and saying, well, Danny, because all of these things have happened, I find myself depressed. I find myself not being happy, not being certain of the future. And you also may be concluding that this is normal. You know, everyone is in it with you. Well, it might not be the case. Mm-hmm. Letitia, what are we talking about?
We're talking about how behind every conduct there's a spirit. I've heard a lot of conversation around this, whether you believe it's a spirit or it's someone's personality or if it's just how the day is going. But I would rather want to go to scripture first, just to talk about how everything is not the flesh. Everything you're feeling is not the petrol price. It's not the electricity. It's not the food delivery. A lot of the times, what we are experiencing is something much deeper than what the environment is telling us. And the environment can actually be hiding that this thing has been there. This thing has been there, and it has been waiting for the perfect opportunity. So I quickly want us to turn to Ephesians 6:12. Very well-known scripture, but this really exposes the spirit behind what we're seeing in the physical. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the kingdom of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I want to highlight a few things that we're wrestling against over petrol prices, over family feuds, over addictions, right? Yeah. We're actually wrestling principalities, powers, rulers of the kingdom of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places.
My wife, before you even enter this, right, I just want to say this for background. You studied psychology, you've got your degree in psychology, and the church has, we're in a bit of a pickle, right, as a church. In the past, every medical thing was spiritualized. Okay, so if a child was born and they were maybe disabled, we wanted to know what sin did the parents commit. We find that in scripture, okay? Even in this day and age, you'll find maybe someone is medically depressed. We're just like, no, it's a demon. And you know, we put it there. So it's kind of created an environment where, as the church, we're trying to correct those past wrongs. We're trying to say, hey, not everything is a spiritual matter. So if your child is sick, we're going to rush the child to hospital. You know, medical aid is our number one go-to. You know, when we're dealing with mental illness, we're like, it don't just call it demon possession. You know, there's something called mental illness, you know. So there's someone listening right now already saying, there you go, you Christians, you know. You are about to spiritualize medical stuff. You're about to spiritualize emotions that science can show us exists, you know. So now I'm coming to you as someone who has understanding in both the spiritual and the psychological aspect of these topics. How and when do we differentiate? How do we go and say, there can be a medical aspect to this, but there's also a spiritual. It's not this or that, but where's that line where they meet?
You know, having studied psychology and even now I'm doing trauma studies in my master's in French, so it's still very deeply rooted in psychology. I always believe that it's the Lord that created human psychology. God created human psychosis. Your psyche was created by him, and he knows how it works. So when you're able to take a learnership in how the psyche works, you can actually see how the enemy uses the psyche against you. And you're thinking, no, it's all medical, but it's all created by God. It can be perverted, it can be improved, it can be worked on, but it's all created by God. And so that being said, I think that balance is important. Everything in excess always goes bad, right? Balance is important. And we actually see it in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, which is the Lord's Prayer. And I want to highlight this one specific verse in the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. That's what I want to say. Your kingdom come, it's verse 10, Matthew 6, 9 to 13, but I'm focusing on verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The balance of on earth and in heaven is very important. Many times we find that there's an illness, right? Mm-hmm. And we take the child to the doctor. That's perfectly fine. God has put in us the ability to take herbs and plants and put them together, those that have that wisdom, to heal wounds and sores, etc. But there's also a spirit called the spirit of infirmity. And the spirit of infirmity causes illness. Mm-hmm. There are people who have undiagnosable illnesses their entire lives. Mm-hmm. There's an illness called fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is physical reactions to a psychological issue, so an emotional issue. If something is emotionally taxing, you begin to feel pain that medicine can't find. So they called it fibromyalgia because the pain is emotionally induced, right? Situations like that tell you that the psyche or the spirit man, it's not a physical thing, even though it has physical manifestations. Mm. So even as we fight these things medically, we can't just say, don't pray for the child because the doctor fixed it. The doctor can fix the physical aspect of it, but even the spiritual aspect of that sick child has been tampered with by that illness. Yes. The illness can put you in a spiritual downcast place. So when you speak into that spirit that is causing that illness, because that's what the Bible says, that we do not wrestle flesh and blood. So even when there's a flesh and blood wrestling, there has to be a mindset for believers based on scripture that it's typically not the flesh that you are combating in a thing or in a person. Yes. So having studied psychology, I see how the mind is working to make somebody sick. Mm. And there are certain illnesses that I've seen the Lord cure immediately. And it helps with the physical manifestation. So how many times have you heard stress cause a stroke? It's not always physical. The stress was not physical.
Yes.
The stress was mental. Mm. So you sat there and you crunched the numbers so much that a vein popped and there you went. You had a whole stroke because you were thinking too much. I was speaking to my tailor yesterday and she said to me, sometimes she gets a design that is so intricate. She'll be sitting at midnight thinking, how do I put this dress together? And she said to me, Tish, she's a much older woman. She is so wise. Whenever I go to her, I learn so much. And yesterday she said, Letitia, whenever I find a pattern in a dress that feels like it's about to break my brain, I leave it and I go to sleep. And as I sleep, the Lord gives me strategy. And when I wake up in the morning, I can tackle that dress because I am not about to have a stroke over a dress. So it just goes to show that physical manifestations often come from non-physical things.
Yes.
So it doesn't help to ignore the non-physical aspect of it, but it helps to tackle this thing from both sides in a well-rounded manner. So we had, obviously, the church saying everything is demonic, and now we're trying to fix it to say
everything is not demonic.
Everything is now medical. But the truth is, scripture speaks of a balance between what's happening on earth also being in heaven.
I'll share a testimony where what happened with me. I think this was about 2 years ago, towards the end of 2019 into 2020. Like, I had problems with my eyes. Like, I was losing my sight. And when I'm saying losing my sight, at night, the lights would hurt. You know, I had to wear glasses at night because even the TV screen would hurt. So I went to my optometrist, and she looked. I mean, the results of my older results and the new results, you could see that my eyes used to be good and they were now bad. You know, so she told me, look, at this point, you're going from what we're seeing, the results, you're going to have to wear glasses. You know, we had glasses made, very nice glasses, very stylish glasses, you know, because I had to, I had to make sure, you know, it goes with my personality, you know. So I accepted, okay, this is the current situation, there's medical evidence for it. And I then was doing a show during 2020 where I was just praying for people online. I had my glasses on because I could not have them on. And I prayed. And what was interesting is as I'm praying, the Lord leads me to pray against sickness, to pray for anyone who's struggling to see. You know, and this is recorded literally after I opened my eyes. Suddenly, I couldn't see with the glasses. So I remove it, not even realizing I just got healed, you know. And then suddenly things were clear. I continued, you know. And it's only later, guys, when the show was done, that I realized, my goodness, I was healed.
Yeah.
I can now see. There's no pain anymore. So to say there was medical evidence, yes, there was.
And intervention.
And intervention. And my optometrist is not a demon. You know, for doing a job and seeing what is it. Because some of us believers have also demonized doctors.
The doctor.
You know, if the doctor gives you...
You know, I often ask Danny, like, oh, when a doctor sits in church and they hear the testimony of...
The doctor told me.
Yeah, and then I always wonder what the doctor thinks, like sitting there, like, you know.
And you know what we do wrong, Letitia? We don't realize that in Scripture, when Jesus would heal people, he would actually send them to the priests. Why? Because they could give you a certificate that confirms whether you are healed or not. So in our case, our doctors are there to help us identify what is wrong.
Yeah.
If the issue is in your blood cells, let the doctor tell you so you can now target it. You know, if it's in your mind, if it is... If medically we can see that you are depressed, thank the doctor for showing you where the problem is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end there. That's not where the job starts. You now go back home and you're like, okay, Lord, I've seen where the problem is. Let me tackle it. And sometimes it is that spirit of infirmity, you know, and, you know, even things that are in the bloodline. Because here's the funny thing. Psychology, without any spiritual beliefs in it, was also able to find that things that happen in the generations repeat itself.
We actually had a class in my second year where there was a case study of a lady who was always depressed, and she'd been doing counseling, I think, for like 4 years. And the counselor said, no, this now boggles the mind, because she was getting promoted, she was getting married, she was having children, you know, the typical things that one would think makes one happy. And she was still not very far in her healing process. And so the psychologist said, have you ever spoke to your mother about her pregnancy with you? Mm. And she's like, no, not really. She's like, you need to find out what the atmosphere was, what your mother's environment was, yes, when she was pregnant with you.
Yes.
So she went and spoke to the mom, and turns out, this is a bit graphic, so, you know, if you don't like graphic content, skip this part. but turns out the mother was depressed when she had been pregnant with her, because something was happening in her life, and so she wanted to have an abortion, but it was a late decision abortion. She was about 7 to 8 months pregnant when the relationship between her mom and her dad fell apart. So she took a knitting needle and shoved it up herself to try and abort this daughter.
Sure.
And when she told the psychologist this, the psychologist said, well, rejection. You were rejected from the womb. And because of that, you grew up with this feeling that nobody wants you and that you're not supposed to be here and that you caused trouble because your mother now felt that she was bound to your father for life because she was pregnant with you. Now, when you look at that spiritually, that is a spirit of rejection that entered that child from a womb perspective. I mean, that is a deep wound, because the womb is supposed to be the safest and the closest that you are to your parent. And if in the womb you're being attacked in that manner, that spirit stays on you. Mm-hmm. And that's not a work that can be done through psychology. Mm-hmm. A spirit problem is tackled a spirit way. But the question is, do you recognize that it's a spirit problem, right? Mm-hmm. But let's not just talk about a spirit problem in terms of medical things, but what about conduct and behavior? I quickly want to look in the book of Job. Job 32, verse 7 to 9, is when Elihu speaks to the elders, and he says something about wisdom coming through the Spirit of God that I quickly want us to look at. It says, I thought age should speak, advanced years should teach wisdom, but it is the Spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. Mm. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right. Mm. I just quickly want us to look at verse 8 again. But it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. That means that the opposite is probably true too, because of the enemy's ability to pervert. Mm. So we can say, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the deceiver, that gives them a lack of understanding. And the Bible says, my children perish because of a lack of understanding. Is that not then a spirit that is operating to have someone see through the lens that does not have understanding? And it can also be the Spirit of God. So there's this wonderful woman that I know. She is incredibly gifted and called in the prophetic. And when we first started speaking, she would say to me, oh, Spirit told me to say. And she would just say Spirit. And I just immediately had a check in my spirit when she would say Spirit. But months down the line in our relationship, I just said to her, listen, I don't mean to offend you, but you have to say the Holy Spirit. Because there are many spirits.
Yes.
That's why the Bible is very clear to say the is a definite article, to say there's definitely a spirit that's holy, because there are definitely spirits that are not. And we need to be aware from which spirit we are talking, right?
Yes.
This even goes in the church in terms of the ecclesia, the gathering. There are spirits that talk through people that have knowledge, but that are not from God. And it's called a divination spirit.
That's true.
So just because, and this is how tricky it is, and that's why the Lord says, test the spirit. The Lord didn't say, test the prophecy. The Lord didn't say, test the behavior. He didn't say, test the gift. He said, test the spirit behind what you're dealing with in that person, right?
Yep. Even in Romans 8, verse 26, It brings up something here. In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for or how to offer as we should. But the Spirit Himself knows our need at the right time, intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groaning too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. Just showing you the power of the Spirit to really go and know even the things that you don't know, you know, and to redirect you. When I was looking at this, just to tie it, some of us walk with spiritual influences that we've picked up along the way that we don't even know are there, you know. And there's a scripture that came to mind when you were speaking. You know, we all know it. We all speak about the wolves in sheep clothing, but we always attribute that to the pastors, you know. According to scripture, the pastor is the shepherd. The church is the sheep. So when they're saying sheep in wolf clothing, it's saying that the person is in the pew with you. And they're normally sitting there after every sermon, they something they saw that was wrong. You know, everything that's happening in church, they will always point out something that's not working out. That's the spirit in that person. It's a wolf spirit that comes from the congregation and puts doubt, sows discord, sows malice, sows distrust, and slowly begins to break off the church. You know, some of you don't go to church anymore because the wolf got you. And you think you stopped going because of the pastor. But just look carefully and see who was speaking to you. Look carefully and hear the things that kept going in your ear. No, they're doing this. Oh, I heard they did that, you know. So there can be a spirit operating in a person, even pretending to warn you, pretending to look like it's saving you, but it's separating you from the body of Christ.
I'll actually never forget. And the way you can pick up the spirit that's talking through a person is you have to spend time with God. You have to spend time with God. You have to spend time in the Word. He has to be ministering to you, because when you walk out into the world, what the Lord said must be confirmed one way or the other. That will actually be our next episode. What the Lord told you must be confirmed one way or the other. And if someone is coming to you saying the exact opposite, and I had this with every time someone would tell me something, this was someone who was in our lives, she would come and say the exact opposite. And I said to my husband, I said, what spirit is operating here? Because it keeps on saying the opposite of what God has told me to do. And what God told me to do, it bore fruit. So I went back and I said, no, this is not just a wicked person. You know, I really want to make a distinction, and I always do. We blame people so much, but we don't see the spirit operating behind a person.
Where a good person can have a season where a certain spirit is operating in them. And like Jesus, we should be able to look at Peter and say, hey, get thee behind me, Satan.
That wasn't even about Peter. That was about Jesus recognizing that something is speaking behind Peter and rebuking it. And so the call is to be spiritually sharp, to discern that we don't marry with every word just because we love the person. We don't marry with every diagnosis. We don't marry with every credit that's been sent to us from the bank. We have to understand what the spirit realm is saying about what's happening on earth. What is heaven saying about what's happening on earth? And speak heaven's perfection over that which is occurring right now.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Next time, we're going to go into a different direction, but still staying on the topic. Goodbye. Stay blessed.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Van Billies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.